Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Namaste, yogis. This is Andrew Seely here to welcome you to the Yoga Revealed podcast. Have you ever thought about how a plant-based diet could benefit your yoga practice and the world? On this outstanding episode, we sit down with acclaimed movie director and producer Kip Anderson to hear about his follow-up documentary to the award-winning Cowspiracy called What the Health. Today, we have the privilege of diving into the details of Kip's yoga journey, from practicing yoga as a means of gaining mind-body connection to refining his intention and allowing yoga to be his sanctuary for greater connection to source. Listen close as Kip explains how he sees yoga helping to spread awareness of care and compassion for all living beings.
I felt that a veil was taken off for me, and that how did I not know this? How did I not know this? Why didn't my parents tell me? And I fought it for a long time. So once that disconnect started connecting, I wanted the truth about everything.
Tap into the heart of Ahimsa and learn to truly care as Kip shows us a path to raising vibration and doing our share on this exciting episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast with Kip Anderson. So I'm really stoked to have you on the podcast today simply because you not only practice yoga, but you practice the first limb of the yamas, which is ahimsa. And a lot of people are not super familiar with that, but it's the act of non-harming. And I feel that in the society that we live in today, it's so imperative for us to be not only conduits of living fully that yogic lifestyle, but also those who can share that with others, and you're doing it in a really huge way. So I'm super stoked to have you on today.
Well, thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Definitely. So I like to start with where your yoga journey first began.
It began around only 7 years ago. I've been vegan for 9 years, and I think that was the first stage of leading to yoga. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend at the time introduced me to Jiva Mukti because she knew I was vegan, and I was like, I was getting into yoga, and I said, is there a school out there? Because I've been going to some classes that I didn't feel it had the whole essence of what I felt at that early stages of what yoga really meant. I knew there was asana practice, but I first got into it with the whole theory and the eight limbs of yoga, and mm-hmm. that was just as important as me, the asana practice. So I was introduced, fortunately, to Jiva Mukti at that time in San Francisco, and there's some amazing teachers up there, and
yeah,
that's where I got into the asana practice, really, and getting more deep into that type of practice.
And at that time, you had already been vegan.
I've been vegan about 2 or 3 years before that.
And what made you decide to go vegan?
It kind of follows, the Cowspiracy is really a recreation of what happened to me over about 6 year period, where it looks like it all happens over a couple months. I saw a video as a hardcore cheeseaholic, like mm-hmm. every meal. I couldn't even go vegan one single day, not even one day. And it was mainly cheese because I was a vegetarian, pesco, lacto, avo, pescatarian for a few years before that. Mm-hmm. And someone told me about a video called Meet Your Meat.
I actually watched that.
it's like Earthlings in about 12 minutes, and narrated by Alec Baldwin. And I put it off for a long time. And finally, I said, you know, while I was eating cheese pizza, I'm like, okay, I'll watch it.
He literally got the cheese pizza ordered. You're like, yeah. Okay, let's sit down and get this over with.
And I said, because my ex at the time, she's like, she was vegan for about 2 months after she watched that. And I'm like, wow, still are. I said, okay, sat down with my cheese pizza. I watched it, and the dairy part just killed me. You know, the taking of the, from the mother and the... the baby calf, and I literally threw it across the room. Like, I was on a long table. I slid it across, like, fell on the floor. And at that same time, I was learning about the environmental impact, too. So it was kind of, that's why I was ready for this video. And at that time, I wanted it out of every cell of my body. I wanted it, just, I wanted nothing to do with this industry. Like, get this out as fast as I can. Not only do I want to not stop eating this product, I want it out of every, the nucleus of my cell. Just liberate me from this industry.
Yeah.
So it was such an immediate impact, and I'm fortunate because a lot of people have withdrawals and this and that, but
yeah,
it was such an emotional experience that happened to me that it was just boom like that.
So at this time that you had this emotional experience with knowing that you had to let go of the dairy products, was it simple? Was it easy? And what kind of helped you through that process?
I was so ignorant of nutrition. You know, it's 9 years ago and I wasn't, it's a little bit different now. So ignorant of nutrition that I literally thought if I didn't have animal products within a month, I would get deathly ill. I really did. And I was, it was such a powerful emotion for me that I saw this trail of blood and death and destruction if I continued to eat that way. That was just a trail of blood and death to my grave. And I said, even if I can stop this for just 1 month, you know, it's like an atonement. If I can just end this now, and if I die in 45 days because I'm vegan, because I don't even know, that is fine. And it literally was, I was so ignorant about nutrition. And then as most people go vegan, especially when you eat as much cheese as I did, I didn't know what to eat, but I didn't eat cheese. And within 2 weeks, I felt the blood rushing through my veins. I felt, you know, all the cliches, I felt lighter. I felt just this whole overwhelming sense of transformation that was happening for me in only about 2 or 3 weeks. And I said, I think I'm going to live. And then it just progressed. And luckily at that time, I did have a partner who helped me through that because we were doing it together. And if you don't have someone you're doing it with, it's, you know, find that community because they're so, it was so helpful for us to, and we made a game of it. You know, we text each other, I found this new cookie today at, you know, yada yada, or I found this new cheese, and to make it a game, or is it all of a game of finding new things out rather than restricting. It was about exploring and things introduced. So it was a fun period. So that's when people say they go vegan. Like, that was such a fun period for me.
So during that time of actually discovering that there were vegan options that would be fulfilling and nutritious for you, is that kind of when you decided to start practicing yoga?
Yeah, I think it was a natural next step progression, kind of, you know, whether it's yoga as far as an asana practice, I got into the theory of it because it became a spiritual thing for me that I wasn't expecting going vegan. It was just initially, I don't necessarily love animals. I just don't hate them enough to want to eat them. It was a justice thing. And Keegan, who I make these films with, he's the same way. We're not necessarily animal lovers. It's more about justice. If you see someone being hurt on the side of the road, it's not like, you know, I love humans that much, where it's just, this is not right. But then, so exploring that a little bit more deeper, I was introduced to yoga and introduced the eight limbs. And I said, wow, this is really cool how this all connects and that they get it. And then so that's where the introduction of yoga came, more on the theoretical side and the philosophy side of it.
Nice. So during these first few stages of yoga, you know, we have the yamas and the niyamas, which are like the observances, and then obviously the don't do's. And then after that, we have the third step, which is the asana. And tell me about your journey through asana.
You know, I felt, you know, being more in line with your body, in line with everything, that it all just kind of worked together and it really accelerated. I had nothing to compare it to. So for me, it was all part of the process and the journey. that, of course, when started practicing asana practice and practicing yoga, it's like, why didn't I do this 10 years earlier? But it just wasn't ready for it then.
Can you take me back to the time that rang in your head that you decided to create Cowspiracy, and how did that come about?
Well, once I found out about the impacts at the same time of the ethical reasons, I found out, you know, once that happened, I felt that a veil was taken off for me, and that, how did I not know this? When I saw that Meet Your Meat, how did I not know this? Why didn't my parents tell me? Mm-hmm. So, and I fought it for a long time. So once that disconnect started connecting, I wanted it. I wanted the truth about everything. Like, what else don't I know? What else don't I know? So I dug deep into it, and then I found out about the animal and agriculture's impacts on the environment, and went really, really deep into the research on that. Mm. And then the big inspiration for actually making the film was not the facts themselves. It was that the environmental institutions, environmental nonprofits, the Greenpeace, the Sierra Clubs that I supported, I used to give especially Sierra Club money for saving wolves, all this. They were not talking about this. So I started emailing them, calling them. In the movie, I said I was doing it for months. In reality, it was about 5 years. And the last 2 years was so frustrating that they would not answer me, and they would just give me these answers that were, you know, just
automated responses.
That betrayal, I felt that betrayal was the inspiration for making the film, not even the facts that you learn in that. Wow. I could not believe they were not telling us this.
So you wanted to get that message out.
How to get the message out, and how to talk to these institutions that are, ask them, why are you not telling us this? Why? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you tell me this 20 years earlier? I felt like, you know, just almost a personal, like, why aren't we telling this? I could not believe it. And, you know, people said, well, why don't you, kind of going after, whatever, lack of a better word, the animal agriculture industry or someone else. I said, because it's these organizations, they're like our parents. They're our environmental parents, the Greenpeace Sierra Club. They're the one that needs to tell us this. Mm-hmm. And so why didn't they tell us this? It, you know, it hurt me. So, and again, when in the film, when you see, when we do interviews, it's with reverence and with respect and just asking questions. But
yeah, for those who are not familiar with the Cowspiracy film, can you give us a premise of what is actually revealed there?
Basically, the bottom line is that eating animal products, meat and dairy, is by far the number one cause of environmental destruction. This one industry is the leading cause of species extinction, wildlife destruction, rainforest destruction, land use, water consumption, water pollution, and human-caused greenhouse gases. Just livestock alone causes more human-caused greenhouse gases than all transportation put together.
Wow.
And that number goes anywhere from 14% to 18% to 51%. But the bottom line, it is somewhere in that realm. Of all the research since then, it looks like it's really between 35 and 51 by people who have no stake in the game.
To do any more research per se.
Yeah. And then the film, in a creative, entertaining way, takes you on this journey that I went through, finding out these different things and then talking to individuals and leading scientists and then the environmental groups, asking them questions. And that's where it gets interesting, everywhere from funny to bizarre. It's just a fun journey that you go on.
Definitely. So from Cowspiracy, how did your practice help you move through those different interviews and those conversations that you have that may have been really confronting, right?
So it's a great question, because it took me about 4 years to make Cowspiracy. I was trying to email these organizations for about 3 years, and I said, this has to be a film. And I thought someone would do it. And at that time, I was practicing yoga a little bit, but I was, you know, a little bit scattered. And, you know, to make a film and something of that importance and to get that much research done, I said, I need to turn it up. So around 2011, I said, I have to go to yoga teacher training. Mm. And the very first day, I went to Jiva Mukti yoga teacher training.
Ah, Jiva Mukti's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And I felt that they're most in line with all the eight limbs and like the yoga of the yoga. And so the first day when they go up, what's your intention of being here? I said, my intention is to represent animals. And most people are like, my intention is to do retreats or to do this. Mine was, I know I travel a lot. It was just that I want to be a better vehicle, a better portal light to gather myself to be able to tell this message. So it's purely to gather the tools to, and then, so that helped me a lot. And I was working on it, and it was kind of coming together a little more. And then I learned about Kundalini yoga.
Hmm.
And that was at 2012. And right after, on December 22nd, 2012, which I realized we're all going to live.
Yeah. I said, everyone was like, the end of the world.
Yeah, and I was
but it's just
one
a new beginning.
It's
Come
just
on.
A new beginning. Literally that day I woke up and I'm like, all right, well, we're living. It's time to step it up.
Ah.
And I said, that day I saw Kundalini yoga teacher training in Rishikesh, India. I'd done Kundalini yoga 4 times in my life. Mm. And within 3 weeks, I was heading to India. And that was 23 days of hardcore Kundalini yoga, waking up at 3:30 in the morning, going into the Gangi River, doing Kundalini yoga till 7 p.m. at night. Within 2 weeks after returning, I met Keegan.
Mm.
And with 10 months after that, Cowspiracy was finished.
Wow. That so immediately how, it put a fire.
You know, like the magnetic field, the in tune with everything. And my intention was really with animals and harmony and myself, expanding my intention and my actualization. I realized it was that with that. And I owe a lot to Kundalini yoga. So powerful.
Why do you feel that Kundalini yoga was so much more resonant to you?
It is, they say it's almost a surgical yoga. It's the... You can literally transform your DNA. These blocks that I had that I didn't even know I had was transforming into powerful blocks, into these things that, we would do a lot of things about every other day where you have your own intention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like surgical procedures where it's so specific. It's for this or for this, anything from a disease that you have or for something to manifest. And over and over and over, if anyone knows that they do Kundalini yoga that intense, you can really manifest. And the difference between a lot of yoga and the Om, saying Om, and in Kundalini yoga it's Om.
Mm-hmm.
The Om is of the unmanifested, the universal spirit, where the Om, O-N-G, is the manifestation. So mm-hmm. a lot of these meditations that I was doing was different than Kundalini yoga, where Kundalini yoga is more manifesting. It's making things happen.
Bringing it into reality. Yeah.
A lot of other yoga, it's kind of releasing, letting go, mm-hmm. being at one with everyone, where Kundalini yoga is activating magnetic field, shining the light, doing things, being a vehicle of light. So I was just, I came back and people were like, you're literally a different person.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really powerful. Plus going to India for the first time, as you
That's
know.
What I was going to ask is, was it your first time?
That was the first time. And then again, and also not only that, going straight to Rishikesh, which is like the holy of the lands. So that was a huge part of it. Dipping, bathing in the Ganges River at 3:30 in the morning, the whole experience. But being in India and then having a interesting realization that I'd been there in a past life, the whole thing all came together.
But that's pretty incredible. This was my first time most recently. I just got back 2 weeks ago on this Friday, actually. It's pretty wild to think of. Just 2 weeks ago, I was literally in the heat of India in Varanasi with these children at the Chandramouli Children's Trust, helping them with yoga. And I brought, 14 incredible yogis from all around the world to this space of unknowing, because I wasn't fully aware of where we were going, but luckily we had a Yoga for Change who came around and they literally guided us through Varanasi, Bodh Gaya, and also we went to Nalanda, which was incredible as well. But I really want to go to Rishikesh.
Yeah,
I've heard that it's an incredible experience because it's the holy land of the heart of the Ganges, where the Ganges River starts, and that's such a beautiful idea that this river runs all the way from the tops of the Himalayas all the way down into all these little crevices and creases of India.
Mm-hmm. And that's the first stop, Rishikesh. That's why it's so clean, where you can actually bathe in it
mm-hmm.
every day. But I want to do exactly what you did now, and I'm ready to explore all of India. That was just a touch, mm-hmm. but it was incredible.
So when you did your Kundalini training, how do you feel that it differed from your training with Jiva Mukti? Because Jiva Mukti is actually really good at encompassing all 8 limbs, and obviously this training that you've done with Kundalini, it like really inspired you to move forward with actualization of the Cowspiracy movie and that which I feel is your dharma.
Yeah, and I feel what was happening with Kundalini yoga when you're practicing, you get a little bit more aware of your chakras and your things, like when you're doing these powerful meditations and these mantras, is that a lot of it is pushing up your Kundalini, and a lot of times, you know, even when you go to bed, your kundalini is at the lower chakras. And so I became really in tune of every chakra, and I hadn't ever really, really felt that before. So things that I would do, I could feel what chakra they would affect, like relationships and things that I would do. If, like, say, I would, you know, drink a beer, do whatever, I would feel that. And so that was becoming really in tune and so obvious that I made the relationship to when people are eating animals, and, you know, that's a fear base, or it's the lower chakras. And when you remove that, feeling your kundalini rise. So it was all coming together in almost a physical way, more than theoretical. It was becoming, I could actually see it being take place where my, that lack of a word, kundalini was rising within myself. And I became more balanced, and I feel I was more in my lower chakras when I was entering that. And it was powerful.
For those who are not familiar with the definition of kundalini, how would you define it?
Well, it's the rising of the energies. It's the rising. I like to, you know, a lot of people just think it's this place that you eventually go to, you know, kind of like the innate limbs, and eventually reach
samadhi.
Where what I really feel is that with kundalini, it's activating all the chakras. So a lot of times, just in everyday life, we're living in our lower chakras. So rising the kundalini, balancing those energy chakras and those energy centers through all seven chakras, or eight chakras, or nine, whatever you believe in. So rising that space that usually tends to settle at the bottom, the core, and that's what yoga practice is. And that's essentially what kundalini yoga is, a lot of really tuning into these different chakras, rising it so you're becoming more balanced. So you're working with all the chakras. Some people think your lower chakras aren't necessarily as powerful or as important as, say, your third eye or your crown chakra, but it absolutely is. Everyone has its own feature, and I feel most of my life I was only running on a few of them, and then at that time they were all just lit up, you know.
That's beautiful. So in finding this newfound, you know, purpose, did you immediately know that you would create more than one documentary?
I felt so, because Cowspiracy initially was supposed to have a little bit more elements of the health impacts, because once we dove deep into the environmental impacts, you can't help but find out the same stories being played out, the health impacts. Once you find out about that, then you say, well, wait, is there some parallel story taking place in the ethical spiritual world? Again, removing that space of disconnection that had, and replacing with light and information. And so Cowspiracy was going to be a little bit more all three of those areas. And then we realized this is way more than one film. So that's what led to What the Health, and perhaps we'll see another third film on ethics, but we'll see about that.
So it just so happened that my good friend Cam invited me to go check out the What the Health film premiere. And I am a vegan and have been a vegan for now 8 years, and I immediately was drawn to it because he was like, dude, he's giving the full breakdown of the health benefits of veganism. And it's so often that the one place that I get stumped when I'm talking to friends about the importance of becoming a vegan is the health benefits. You know, they know that I'm healthy, they can see that I'm healthy, but then being able to articulate it and to be able to say, well, the reason why being a vegan is actually so good is because not only do you feel better, but this, this, and that, it just never really came out. So I loved that aspect of the film, is you outlined it, and you took also three people who had really severe health problems and put them on a vegan diet for, what was it, 3 weeks?
Well, they're doing it for anywhere from 4 weeks to 6 weeks to longer, but those transformations in the film, two out of the three were only 2 weeks of all that medication. One of the females, one of the ladies, Jane, she was in a walker, you know, and she's only 61 in a walker, taking, I think it was 16 medications per day. Within 2 weeks of cleaning or changing her diet, she was off all medications. We just contacted her recently, and she's doing incredible. And the other lady, too, was within 2 weeks, she had all these illnesses and taking all these drugs, cleansing herself completely, 2 weeks, and quote unquote, she even said 2 weeks is all it takes. After 10 years of being sick, told that I'm going to die within months, imagine all of a sudden finding out within 2 weeks that you are not completely healed, And so you just see them lit up, just lit up. A whole new world opens up for them, and it's so powerful for us. We were not ready to see that transformation happening. Mm-hmm. But a big part with What the Health is that the goal of What the Health isn't just the personal things that happen with your transformation and health, is to show that true health embodies everything. People get so caught up on health and say even yoga and what's my health? How's my health doing? How's my dosha? What's my dosha? Am I healthy? But true health is when your community is healthy, when your loved one's healthy, when your pet is healthy, when your environment is healthy, the entire planet. And that was such a big part of the film, that with 7 billion people, we're essentially one entity now. And we have to realize that for you to be healthy, we all have to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's true health. You know, we get caught up in the individual.
That's so true. You hit on a huge subject, and really the main reason that I created this podcast is because the community is the key. We're all connected. And the more that we can find that sense of community and that sense of bringing our own information and our own experience to the forefront of sharing it, that's when we truly make a difference, not only in ourselves, but in the world. And I think that you touched on a really beautiful point in What the Health, which is that we can all harness this information and make a change as a whole entire world. Because if we as Americans, with all of this information, help to inspire other countries to do the same, then really the vegan trend will not only become a trend, but it'll also be a way of living, a way of being, a way of seeing that this is the best way for us to move forward as a sustainable human race.
Yeah, and it's exciting because it's already happened. You know, once the seed is planted, say it's like almost the mantra when you say it 108 times, the 108th seed, it's already been said, it's already happened. I feel it happened in 2012, and now we are finally seeing this unfold. We're living in such an exciting time where this movement, you have so many different movements that had to lead up to this one, you know, the civil rights, the women's rights, gay rights, on and on and on. They had one thing in common that led to their success, was ethics. Mm-hmm. This movement has not only ethics, but has the survivability of our entire planet, just to survive. Like, imagine if these other movements had that. And our personal health and ethics, all wrapped up in one. So that's why you see this happening so fast. So really, it's part of the future, but it's now. So it's really, are you living today, part of the future? Are you living in the past? Because this is what's going to be, and it already is, for our future children, and definitely our grandchildren. It's happening so fast.
Hmm. So with that being said, do you feel and see a real influx of people changing their minds after seeing your films?
Well, we get a lot of incredible emails. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see now. We just started with What the Health, but you know, one of our good friends, Cam, my good friends, he saw Cowspiracy and What the Health the very next day, and he said, "Boom, sold." You know, and what's beautiful about that, with the way he framed it, is really the same, that he sees the connection to everything around him. He's an artist, so he mm-hmm. sees the progression of him as an artist, progression of him, you know, taking that to the next level. And already he's, you know, doing incredible things where in only just a few weeks, everything's opening up for him. So it's more than this personal transformation. It's this transformation where you're just connected to everything. And you just see this whole state around you just rise with you. And then the vibrations that you connect with, all of a sudden you're starting meeting different people, different things start to happen. And it's just so exciting. That's why I don't get jealous, but when someone just turns on going vegan, I say, "Oh, it's so lucky of you." Like, it's such a fun
it's starting.
Time.
It's yeah. starting, you know?
It's like, someone is like, probably you, when you, I didn't plan on all these benefits, you know, of reconnecting to my inner child and connecting to, you know, these higher powers. I wasn't even that spiritual then, but just start one thing after another, unfold, unfold, unfold. And I was like, wow, this is so incredible. And I didn't even do this for this, but if I would have known, who knew?
It's so beautiful to watch it all blossom.
Yeah.
I feel like when you do decide to fully follow the yogic path, not only does your mind focus in on your true heart's intention, but your whole entire being is then connected to that fully encompassed world of of universal law. It's like things just drop in, drop in for you to be connected to the right people, for that new job to come in, or for that new transition to happen, or for that new person to come into your life. It's like everything then opens up for there to be space to be filled.
Yeah, and what's so incredible is what it is, you have this big disconnect, and it's almost visually this black space where, you know, you've been hidden from it, and you're not really living your true who you are. Again, when I said I reconnected to my inner child, who I was at 6-7 years old, I didn't realize I would connect to my inner child that's like telling me, wow, we're finally living our truth. You know, I would never eat an animal. We didn't know we were doing this. So you have this big dark path, or that all of a sudden the lights shined on it. And so this big empty space has to be replaced. The second law of thermodynamics, it can't be removed or taken away. It now has so much light to fill up. Mm-hmm. And it's literally just light. So that's where all these incredible things start happening, because it has to fill up with something. So it starts filling up with the light, the truth, the love, compassion, and just people you meet, and opportunities, and on and on and on. And it's just, it's a really wonderful experience.
Mm. So I heard that you touched on a third film, and I just have to ask, with going through the, you know, environmental effects of now veganism and how it's helped to change the environment, and now going through What the Health and how the bodily effects of veganism is affecting people, what do you feel is the third one? It must be like spirit?
Maybe spirit, maybe ethics. Things touched on that, you know, things with the yogic tradition and other religious studies, and things that get maybe mixed up in translation. For example, even in the Bible, they say meat, but people think of meat as animal meat. Meat, you know, back then was bread. Mm. So that's why a lot of times when people say, I still eat meat, I eat plant meat. Mm. You know, I eat, it's not fake meat. And I feel it's already happening. In a few years down the road, when people say, oh, I ate meat, they're going to assume that you mean plant meat. Like, that is the norm. And people are like, wow, you still eat animal meat? Animal flesh? Wow, really? Like, oh, I thought you meant plant meat. But so it's going to maybe, you know, we're still toying around with how it's going to be done. But it's definitely an interesting subject that could be of value.
Definitely. So it really interests me, because I feel that in the path of yoga, in the path of self-study, of that svadhyaya, like really going into the depth of your heart and understanding your purpose, that next phase is like, now how do we understand our purpose and then help to make a difference in this world? And I feel that what you are doing is making such a huge difference on a large scale, because if you're working with people like Netflix and, you know, Hulu, where like all of these movies are now in an open source form where you can actually jump on and feel that knowledge be dropped on you right in front of your screen, what do you feel to be the next phase of our sharing evolution, of sharing this information?
Well, I feel the next phase, we're right in the middle of it. And that's kind of like you said, sharing this information happens so fast, that energy exchange happens so fast, exponentially. You know, I have a niece and a nephew, and well, now they're, you know, in their teen, one of them's in their teens, but you just see things processing. You cannot hide anything from them. And what these information say about, you know, eating animals or not eating animals, vegan movement, that's, it resonates so much with the younger generation, because they know at the core, and that's the thing too, is they in a way evolve so much younger. They're evolving at the space when we were young, that's when we started getting jaded to eating animals. Mm. Now they're 6 or 7 years old, they already know that they can't be taken advantage of. They're already, you know, they learned things at 7 years old. It took me till I was 27. You know, so I feel this next stage already is happening. That's why it's happening so fast, and this generation coming up is just so exciting. And when I travel around, and it's just fun to see, you know, going to elementary schools or just really young, and they just get it. They get it. Hmm. So it's really just sharing the information. Once people know the truth, it's just, and then experiencing the truth, it's just the way to go, way to glow.
So I was thinking about another way of sharing this knowledge, and I got to talking to Cam about it, and Cam was like, you know, it would be cool to do some like retreats and like really bring people together to have the experience of eating vegan, doing the yoga, and going to these spiritual places that really encompass that transformational environment to be able to have an experience that allows you to leave feeling that you've moved from one phase to the next.
Yes.
Are you planning on doing some of those types of things?
Plan on doing it with you and other people. Yeah, for sure. I'm so excited for that. And that's what's fun. Towards the end of the year already, I would love to do some of these retreats, definitely in 2018. And it's just, you said you just kind of went on one. And just to see the transformation in person, like in the film and What the Health, you can see that. But when you're combining it with yoga and daily practice, and seeing how integrated this all is. And then just to witness is, you know, I think the best description is liberation. It's just, you're just liberated from yourself, from your things that you think you wanted or needed, and that these relationships with these industries and this and that, and you just get liberated and just like, I cannot believe how good I feel. And to help share that with people in any way to support that, even to experience that with someone, sounds like just a dream come true. So I would love to do that with you and
everyone else out there. Well, we will make it happen. It's all planting seeds, and then all we have to do is foster and cultivate them. I like to leave our Yoga Revealed podcast listeners with a nugget of truth, or what I would call like a golden nugget, something that they can take with them as a motivator or as an inspiration to go upon the path of yoga.
Experiencing for yourself. Don't listen to what other people say, even in our films, is what we say after watching the film. Do your own study, experience for yourself how it feels to you.
I love the way you said that, because one of my favorite teachers, Sean Korn, she speaks on that as activists, the best thing that we can do is lead it from our heart. And our goal is to be of example. So what better way than to show people that you're compassionate for them no matter what they eat?
Yeah.
They could be, you know, have eaten a burger and you come over and witness this, but don't get down on them for doing what they inherently are doing. But then perhaps educate them or show them a better way or give them a vegan cookie.
Yeah, you know, we're all the same. I used to be eating hamburgers, and it's the same way. I remember the seed was planted 8 years before I went vegan. And it was, I had this weird thought in my head. I said, you know what? I feel someday this might happen. But everyone has their own different path. But it's an incredible feeling, incredible path to be on this one.
Definitely. Well, I really appreciate your time here today, Kip. It's been an absolute joy to have you here on the Yoga Revealed podcast, truly sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for tuning into the Yoga Revealed podcast. You can learn more about Kip Anderson and his newest film, What the Health, at his site, whatthehealthfilm.com. Make sure to check out his other film, Cowspiracy, on Netflix if you haven't already. Continue to share with your heart. Until next time, yogis, live light, shine bright. Namaste.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.